always like to look at the Bible. But I was in the waiting to meet somebody the other day, and I was reading my Bible. This something just a little stuck out, because I'm always trying to think of how to help people to in their pursuit of Christ. And so just a few simple thoughts, and from Romans 6, what I'm going to call this tonight, why good people continue to live in sin. Why good people continue to live in sin. Father, we just pray you bless us tonight and encourage some good people tonight with good intentions. Maybe strengthen someone, free somebody, or prepare them for the attack of Satan ahead. Bless us all tonight. In Jesus' name we ask this all. Amen. In Romans chapter 6, I quoted this verse a couple of different services, and God had me look at the passage a little bit deeper. But it says, Romans 6 and verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer to that question is, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live longer therein? But the way the question is phrased, that means it is an opportunity, or it's a choice. And there are people that I know, I mean, I've been saved for 21 years, and I've met a lot of people with very good intentions. They wanted to do right, but they continued in sin. And I used to have questions. In fact, when I was a lot newer Christian, I was a lot more condemning. I was probably even got bitter towards some people and very judgmental. As we talked about Sunday, that's inexcusable. But I want to look at a few thoughts in this passage that I really think will help you if you desire to live for Christ and to go on. And I believe that's your desire tonight, or else you just stayed home and did something different, right? Amen. And so, first and number one, and looking at verses 1 through 3, we quoted the first two, but it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" For the first reason, number one, they don't understand their baptism into Christ's death. They don't understand their baptism into Christ's death. Now, and this is going to be very simple tonight. You'll probably be amazed. Now, I thought about the death of Christ. When Jesus died, number one, Jesus would never be subject to sin again. Never be subject to sin again. Because when he died, the flesh died with him. That part was over. And we're baptized into the death of Christ. And so, although we know that our Savior never sinned, he took our sin upon him, but after that, he would never take our sin upon him again. And when we're baptized into Jesus Christ, as we come into God and through salvation, we're baptized into the same death that he was baptized into. Number two, Jesus would never walk in the flesh the same way that he did before. Jesus would never walk in the flesh the same way that he did before. After his resurrection, everything was different about him. He was dead. He walked the earth. Yes, he did eat flesh, and he ate some fish and broiled honeycomb to prove that he was still man that resurrected from the grave. But after that death, he would never walk in the flesh the same way he did before. It's just a pursuit. It was just a matter of time for his ascension. Number two, why good people continue to live in sin? They don't understand the purpose of the crucifixion. They don't understand the purpose of the crucifixion. Notice verse 4. It says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Notice verse 6 very carefully. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him." The old man is crucified. Why? "That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Now, thank God that salvation takes us away from hell. Is that good news? Amen. But you know what's happened is our humanistic approach, because humanism is always focused on preserving the humanity with the gospel, it allows us to think that's the main thing and it's all over with. But the whole impact, the emphasis of the crucifixion was that henceforth we should not serve sin. Well, why? That is what glorifies God. God is glorified when we don't serve sin. I mean, thank God for heaven, but you know, when we get to heaven, everybody's going to be glorifying God, right? Everybody's going to be praising God. We sing the song, we're never going to get old. Amen. Well, every day will be a great day. But you know, right now, the way you and I, the way God's creation can glorify Him is by not serving sin. And the very purpose of that crucifixion is that henceforth, we should not serve sin because of, now we understand because the byproduct of that sin is death. And that's eternal separation from God. What was it about Christ that allowed people to be able to follow Him? Was the fact that He did not serve sin. What was it? What did Paul say? He said when he talked to people that I know we say follow me as a follow Christ. I just lost the passage. How he said, "Who's talking about the bitch whose faith followed?" Well, faith, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So you follow the faith, and so that's the faith is what establishes the pathway to where we can follow one another, encourage one another. And he says here in the passage, knowing this, our old man is crucified. Because keep in mind, the question is asked, shall we continue in sin? The grace of God. No, God forbid, you don't have to do that. Catch the emphasis of the crucifixion is that henceforth, no longer, anymore, we should not serve sin. Now, you say, we all know that, but we have, what happens is, by a profession of faith is made, and it's just like, man, that's over. I said, no, it's just beginning. It's just beginning. when a profession is made, wow, I get to walk free. I get to serve free. I don't, that which would chain me before, I no longer have to live that way. Because the whole purpose of me being crucified, as it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's right now. So free. We don't have to do that. Number three, though you don't understand the power of Christ's resurrection. That's something we'll probably take to eternity to really understand that. Now, notice in verse, we didn't read verse 7, but it said, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing this, that our old, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now notice this, here it is, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this is good. Now, this is. There's one more point after this. We're almost done, but this is the power statement right here. So take this home with you. When Jesus rose from the dead, He was forever freed from all earthly limitations of the flesh. When Jesus rose from the dead, He was forever freed from all earthly limitations of the flesh. Now, I want you to think about what that really means. Most of us are driven here by earthly limitations. And so often, we allow our thinking to be controlled by earthly limitations. Now, we do have some, but see, when we're free in Christ, we're free to live this out exactly the way God said we should. And when with that power of the resurrection, as we're resurrected, we're no longer operating by the same operating system. It's a total makeover, a total changeover. Going from Windows to Mac, totally different. Totally different. Total changeover. And this is why for the child of God, the biblical worldview is what then matters. Because then the biblical worldview says, well, what did God say about the situation? And as you follow the Word of God, and then you see that, as you said, Jeremiah, God is the God of all flesh. Now, we know that verse intellectually, but what does that mean? That means God is the God of all flesh. He's the master of all flesh. If God's the master, then who should we look to as far as operating in the flesh? And if salvation really does what it says it would do, when we raised from the dead in Christ, because notice what it said, he liveth unto God. But many of God's people with good intentions, they don't really seem any different than the world. Because, I mean, there's always going to be some similarity because we all breathe, right? We all drink, we take in air. But you know, there's the life of the impossibility that is now attainable through the child of God. The child of God can now see what the Father says, and if need be, Jesus can be across the water, and Jesus can say, come, and the child of God can go across the water, if need be. And if need be, the child of God can put God completely first and see God add all things unto them. Instead of trying to add all things, and then you can have the liberty to put God first. That's really the way that it happens today. People try to stabilize their life, earthly speaking, so that they can then be free to serve God. It's like I know certain people. I was talking to somebody. Who was I talking? I was talking to one of the boys, one of the parents of the boys' basketball game. They have four children, and as you know, we have six. And I was telling him what my pastor always said. He said, when you have children, all your selfish plans just change. And he said, you know, that's true. You know, and we were talking about how people wait till they can afford to have children, and many of them never get there. And instead of, it's a question of whether it's God's will or not, and then trusting God and let God provide. And then, and so many things in the Christian life never get done because people try to work it out in the flesh instead of saying, God, you're the God of all flesh. Nothing's too hard for thee. Let me trust you. And the reason that it works for the child of God is that, but in that he liveth, notice verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Because if the Bible is true, when it says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new, that means there's a different animal after salvation. And different tastes, different desires. You know, if you look at God's creation, some animals are carnivores, some are herbivores, and there's different things. And you think, well, they're different creatures. You know, you don't expect these different creatures to eat the same things. And again, Christ, when he rose from the dead, he was forever free from all earthly limitations of the flesh. And if he that is dead with Christ is freed from sin, why should we live as subject of the bondage, as God talked about? I think it's the book of Galatians. Now, last thing here, last thing why good people continue to live in sin is they don't believe in their Christ-given freedom. They don't believe in their Christ-given freedom. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. That's choice. Don't do it. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Why? Because he's saying you don't have to continue in sin. You can choose to, but you don't have to. Neither yield ye your members. That means you give in your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you. What is sin? Well, all whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. So whatsoever is not of faith shall not have dominion over you. You don't have to. You don't have to live by whatsoever is not of faith. Why? Because Christ gave you the freedom. Christ said you don't have to. Is that good, Joshua? Is that good news? How are you tonight, man? Good to see you. And praise God for these children, man. God's good. Now, verse 15. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Well, since we're free, should we not just go ahead and do whatever we want to do? And no, God forbid. Don't have to. Why? Getting back to number two. The purpose of crucifixion. that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. That's a lot of powerful statements there. A lot of truthful statements there. But you have people all the time say, I just can't do that. Why? Because they just don't understand a few things. Think of how terrible. Can you imagine if you were a caterpillar or let's just say we were all caterpillars, all of a sudden we could fly, you know. I watched them the other day. They got these new things out, these flying suits where people jump off and they glide. They're not flying, but they're gliding, you know. And they fly. It's like they're flying these flying suits, and then they can either crash in the water or they have a parachute at the very end. But they'll go like, you can see them gliding down. Like, can you imagine you could fly? And all of a sudden you just couldn't anymore, you know. I just can't do it anymore. One thing, and having to make that adjustment, you know. Can you imagine if you lived, what if you could fly though, and you lived several years and you found out that you really could fly, but you were just too afraid to try again. And you miss out on, or just pick something, I don't know, something else. Flying may not appeal to you. You may be like me and scared of heights. I don't, when I was at West Point, I signed up to go to jump school. I have no idea why I was scared of heights. God had me separated from the academy before I ever got to jump school, because he probably knew I would have had a heart attack when I jumped out of the plane. They probably had to say, get out, Cadet Harper! Kick me out of the plane. But anyway, can you imagine? I mean, I probably screamed like a girl coming out of the plane, scared the enemy coming down. Anyway, but you don't think about how God really wants us to be free. You know, and we don't have to live subject. You know, question I ask myself, I say, Lord, how am I new? How am I new? Because they made me Christ a new creature. Lord, I want to be the creature that you made me to be. You know, if I'm now a butterfly, I want to fly, and I want to fly, I want to fly. But if I was a butterfly and you want me to crawl now, I'm okay with that. I'll crawl. But whatever creature I'm supposed to be, Lord, help me to be that for your name's sake. I don't want to be limited. You know, and a lot of people, it's just that simple. You know, I think of how I was preaching in, I was in Manitoba, and I had to drive over the Mackinac Bridge, you know, and I'm thinking, man, there's no, and it's a big high bridge, and it's got these steel grates where you can actually look down to the bottom, and I'm afraid of heights. I mean, I think I'll never be able to do that. You know, and they told me about the bridge, and I thought, man, and I was calling, because they have this service where they have people actually drive you over the bridge if you're too afraid to do it, you know. But I said, you know, I can't remember what verse I read, but I read a verse that morning that told me I could do it. You know, I called Miss Mossbecker, Miss Rose now, I wanted to go that way so I could stop and see her when she's still living Upper Peninsula. And I wasn't sure if I'd be able to make it. I said, I'm not sure. I said, I'm really battling with my fleshly fear here. And here's the crazy thing, you know. Now, that bridge is totally safe. Thousands of drivers, and probably by now, millions of drivers have driven over that bridge, and not one of them fell off. Millions. They've gone over, they've gone back, they've gone over, and they've gone back. And I can't remember how many years I've been driving up to that point. Now here's a skilled driver that's about not about to basically yield his member and not be able to do something that is just natural for a driver to do. I mean, because the bridge is maybe, I think, 2 miles long or something. It could be five, I guess. It's no more than 5 miles. Can you imagine? Don't you expect any driver to be able to at least drive 5 miles? And because of a fear, I was about to surrender my ability to drive. Thank you, Lord. I was even willing to pay a price, an unnecessary price, to pay somebody to do something for me that was really unnecessary. And finally, I just found a verse, and then I just drove over the bridge. And there's so many, I don't know how many saints were in here in the scriptures when this was read. I don't know how many saints, but there's so many, so many that just have driven over the bridge. You know what I'm saying? So many of them just lived out the faith and walked free from sin and experienced the reality of Christ and were able to do whatever God wanted them to do when they wanted to do it. The stories you read about and the miracles that God worked through them. And I'm not saying that. Can you imagine? I think that was that before Morgan was born, dear? Do you remember that? You remember it was? Okay, yeah, because you boys went. You were with me. I can't imagine. Now, what if I had called my wife and said, dear, I'm not coming home because I can't go over the bridge? Thinking how many things would be different right now if I just said I can't do something that I was naturally trained to do. My son back there wouldn't know him. Wouldn't have met Belle, because she wasn't here then. Wouldn't have met Christine, because I think that was before I met Christine. All because something I naturally was able to do, I looked at an unknown. Oh, thank you, Lord. I looked at my flesh. I looked at my fear. And I said, I can't. God has much more faith in you and me than we often have in ourselves. And God wants us to trust what He says we can do through Him, in spite of what we think we can do, and in spite of what we've seen others do. And He wants us to believe that all things are possible to him that believeth. I believe with all my heart. A lot of people here with good intentions tonight, and I don't think there's anybody in sin. But I know all of us, He wants us to all abound in the work of the Lord. But you know what that's going to take? It's going to take some. We're going to have to believe the principles that we believe here, or we'll just stop and say, I can't go. Lord, I can't do any more than I'm doing right now. You don't have to raise your hand, but you ever say that? I have. The Lord said, yes, you can, because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So he said, put down that yoke that's not mine and pick up the yoke I gave you, you know. Basically, once you pick up the yoke that God gave you, things are a little bit easier, you know, they're lighter, you know. Lord, tonight we thank you for your goodness. We rest the power of the Word of God in your hands. I pray that your people tonight will go home and read and meditate in Proverbs and also read in Romans chapter 6. And Father, if there be any of your children here tonight that are in sin, I just pray that you give them the faith in what your Word has said so they can leave that sin behind and be free. Father, I thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, dying on the cross, that I don't have to serve sin anymore. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for the too many numerous times in my life that I didn't drive over the bridge. Too many numerous times that I just looked at something and said, I can't. And oftentimes, Lord, said, I won't. But Lord, I just thank you tonight for the victory that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for these precious people you've allowed me and called me here to serve. And I pray that you touch their lives in a special way. I pray you give every child of God here tonight your vision of the creature, the new creature that you've made them to be, and give them the faith to follow your Holy Spirit instincts to live wherever, whenever, or however, and do whatever you've called them to do. Bless now tonight, and we thank you for Jesus.